we're still there. All right, and anyway, so that's a little bit of history about who we are. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. We want to start in chapter number 9. And so on Wednesday night, God led me to preach on the purpose of this conference. And if you were here, you remember those points. And tonight, God's led me to preach on the principle or principles of this conference. All right, so we found out the purpose of this conference. And so now let's look at some of this, the principles. This is a Faith Promise Missions Conference, all right? And Faith Promise is the principle. And so I wanted to share with you tonight some of the biblical principles of Faith Promise, all right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 8 and 9 deal with this idea that we have termed in our day and time as the Faith Promise Principle. Now, the Faith Promise Principle can be used in any manner of giving. And again, one of the challenges of the purpose was that we live by faith, because whatever is not done of faith is sin. All right, and so understanding that and the Faith Promise Principle, then the Faith Promise Missions Conference is the idea of making a promise to God by faith that I will participate in the Great Commission, all right, which has been given to us, which is ours to accept or be disobedient. Yep. It's one of the two. You can either accept it or you can be disobedient, but you can't do both, all right? You can't be obedient and not accept the part. And we're going to see that, but that's the principle of faith and making a promise towards God of carrying out this great commission that he's given us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, so in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I want to just start in verse number 7. And the Bible says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able. And God is able. Every man as he purposeth in his heart. Let's pray. God bless this time that we have together. And Lord, now as we have enjoyed the delicious meals that have been prepared for us, Lord, in your word we find a feast for our faith. God help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you some principles. Now tonight in our message I have 8 points. Okay, and I only have sub-points on 2 of the points, all right? So if you add them all together, like with my message the other night, you probably come up with the same amount of points, but we have more main points tonight, all right? So they're all going to be alliterated. You know what alliteration is? All right, that's how I think, so that's how I preach, all right? My dad was the opposite. He was a summarizer, all right? And he summarized everything, and you know, it was nothing for him if somebody said, write a summary or an essay on something. I can't write an essay to save my life, but I'll give you points, all right? And I follow my mom on that. We just give you points, the bullets, the dots, you know, of this is what this is talking about. So anyway, I've got 8 tonight, and I've got 2 under point number 2, and I've got 3 under point number 3, and all the rest of them are by themselves, all right? So you'll follow along with me. The principles of Faith Promise Missions. Now, number 1, we found here right away in verse number 7, in the first 2 words, the Bible says, every man. Now, the word man there doesn't necessarily mean hombre. It doesn't necessarily mean, male. It means every person, all right? It's a generic term for every person. Even in Spanish, they'll use the word hombre. Talking to their wives. They'll use the word hombre talking to a woman. It's just every man. Number 1 principle in the faith promise of this conference is to participate personally. Every man. participate personally. So I tell people as I'm preaching, I remember in college, I'm going to walk down here and make it very personal to you, okay? I remember in college that I had one teacher that said, never look somebody in the eye, kind of just preach over the top of their head. Now, why in the world would you preach over anybody's head? I mean, I don't like people talking to me over my head. And so I like to tell people when I'm preaching, take it personally, because I'm preaching to you. And I'm not preaching to your neighbor, I'm preaching to you. Several years ago, I was there in Magdalene, and the family was back up in Ohio, and I forget what was happening. It was a holiday, and anyway, nobody else was at church but one man. And so the next service, you know, the other slackers found out that they, you know, weren't there, and nobody else was there, and only Gabriel was there. And so somebody asked him, Gabriel, how was the message on whatever day it was? He says, I don't know, but he says, I really felt like the pastor was preaching to me. And I was. I have a son named Simon, and several years ago in our church, I preached on Simon, Simon. Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you. Simon says, I felt like he was preaching to me, and I said, I was. And Ezra and Sarah and Abigail and Anna and everyone else. So I'm preaching to you. Amen. And the point, number one, of the principles of the Faith Promise Missions Conference is every man, make it a participation personally. It's not, you cannot biblically just allow this to slide off to the next person. You cannot allow this. If you want to know the will of the God, will of the Lord, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Your Bible, like my Bible, says every man participate. And so if you've never done it before, then it's a good time to start obeying God and participate. Yep. And you say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, we'll explain the principles here a little later on, but the first principle to get and to grab a hold of is God's talking to me. And so we've had our children all the way through their lives to participate personally in Faith Promise. Before my kids didn't earn an allowance. My kids earned money, but they didn't earn an allowance. They didn't get an allowance. They didn't have a weekly thing that was going to come in. They could always find some way of earning money. And Ezra can tell you about how God blessed in his life and picking up $100 bills by cleaning the church parking lot and things like that. God has ways of supplying your need. But you have to participate personally. And so, number one, the principle of this faith promise is to participate personally, every man. And then as we continue on, we find in the same verse, the Bible says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. So number one, participate. Purpose profoundly. As he purposeth in his heart. Purpose profoundly. Now what I'm saying is that I'm saying it's more than just a head decision. It's a heart decision. It's more than just an intellectual decision. It is an emotional decision. It's not just saying the words. It's doing the deeds. All right? And so back in chapter number 8 and verse number 12, look at this. The Bible says, for if there first be a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. And so there is the principle of be educated. A willing mind is saying, I'm willing to be educated in the sacrificial, the scriptural principle. That's my first point under my second point, all right? So be educated in the scriptural principle, for if there first be a willing mind. And so tonight what I'm asking you on point number two in this purpose profoundly is to be willing to be educated in your mind. Are you willing to say, well, explain it to me? Or have you already shut that off? Are you willing to say, Pastor, help me understand that this is a scriptural principle, that this is what God wants me to do? Or have you already said, nah? And so there has to be first a willing mind to be educated in the scriptural principle that God says every man. But number two, not only so there's a education in the scriptural principle or the head, but there is a second part, and that is where we find education in the scriptural principle, but there's to become emotional in the subsequent pursuit. It goes beyond the head, first willing in my mind, but it's gone beyond that now. And you've made this emotional. I hope we have. You say, you know, because if you just hear the principles of it, if you just get the points of it, if you just get, okay, I understand that that's a scriptural principle, but we haven't this week as missionaries made it an emotional precept. Next week you'll forget about it. But if we have been able to put a face to those dying without Christ, if we've been able to put a price on the cost of a lost soul, then we have accomplished what God has sent us for, and that is to make this principle of the head and emotion of the heart. And that's why God says then, become purposed profoundly as he purposeth in his heart. Not as he thinketh in his head, not as he understands it. A lot of people say, well, if I understood it, I'd do it. How many of you can explain to me how you can turn a switch on the wall and a light comes on in the ceiling? And it's a simple principle. But you do it whether you understand it or not. And there's a principle, the Bible says, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And this is a whole different message that I could preach the whole thing on. Verse is that there's a peace I just can't explain. There's a little bit of that in that verse, but what that verse is saying is that there's a peace in my life that even though I don't understand it, it passes my understanding. The best way I've found to illustrate that is I'm driving, let's say I'm driving up in Mexico there, and I get behind a pig truck. It's 115 degrees. My air conditioning doesn't work. I'm in a little four-cylinder that's running on three on a winding road with no passing lane, and my trip is miserable. And there's nothing I can do about it because I can't pass. Or I'm driving a very powerful vehicle, and I say, okay, that's enough. Well, boom, and outside that side of that truck and flipping around to the other side. It's just gotten a lot better. That's the peace that's the same word in English, passive, to get out around. You try to live behind your understanding and you're going to live miserable. But you just leave it to God and trust. Faith is what it's called. It's a principle. When I understand this tithing. When I understand this tithing, I'll do it, Pastor. You'll never do it. Well, when I understand why it's so important to be baptized, I'll do it. No, you won't. Just do it. Because God said so. Well, when I understand this missions principle, I'll get involved. You're going to be miserable till you do. God said it. Just do it. And so we find there's a purpose profoundly. Point number three. Look at chapter 8, verse number 12. Chapter 8, verse number 12. Paul says, "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened." Now back up to verse number 3. So Paul says, "I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened." Missionaries aren't here so that we can live like Jimmy Swaggart or some of those other people that the world has fallen prey to. That's not what we're here for. Not that other men be eased while you're burdened. Verse number 3, "For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power they will willing of themselves." Now, point number 3 is this. The principles of this conference: participate personally, every man, purpose profoundly, as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Make it not just figuring out, go home on your calculator, and insurance takes that much money. Really? Wow. Boy, they take a lot of money. And, my car payment is this much money, and my house payment is this much money, and my insurance is this much money, and groceries is this much money, and vacation is this much money, and tithe. Well, what are you doing way down there? Is this much money? And now, pastors had these missionary guys in, and they're talking about giving to missions, and I guess I got to put something in there. And so, well, I think I can do this. That's not what it's about. Now, so chapter 8, verse number 12 again says, "For if there be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath." Now, this is probably a little bit different than you've heard other pastors say, but I'm going to go by the book. That faith promise is not the equivalent of a Christian lottery. In fact, God's opposed the lottery in any form. And I have heard people say that faith promise is you saying, "God, if you give me thus, I'll give it to you. And therefore, if God doesn't give it to you, you don't have to give it to him." Now, I'll challenge you, where'd you find that at? Because my Bible says, it is accepted according to that which a man hath, and not according to the hath not. I can't promise somebody something I don't have. I just can't do that. But out of the 100% that I have, minus the whatever percent the government takes, minus the 10% I've already given to God, minus what am I willing to give God? Now trusting God to give that back, because first give and it shall be given unto you. It's not let it be given unto you and then give. That's not the biblical principle. The biblical principle is put God first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, give and it shall be given unto you. And so number three, my third principle is this: pay proportionally. Now I'll explain that. This is where I have 3 points under this one, all right? Pay proportionally. It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So out of that proportion that I have left, I can tell you this. Out of the 100% that God allows me to earn, I can only give missions 90%. Why? Because the tithe is the Lord's. I can't give 100% of my money to do that. I'm not going to rob God. Will a man rob God? No, I'm not going to do that. But of that 90%, I need to pay proportionally. Tithing has been decided for you. The word tithe means tenth. God decided that for you. You don't have to figure it out, all right? Just times 0.10, you got it. The tithe is the Lord's. An offering, no matter what kind of offering it is, although the offering is commanded, the amount is never commanded. You get to decide. How do you decide an offering? You decide an offering proportionally to. Now, number one, proportionally in this way. Never, I want to help you. Never give more than the sacrifice given by your faithful Savior. Never give more than what Jesus gave. Pretty good principle, isn't it? Now, what did he give for you? He gave all. Well, don't ever give any more than that. Make sure you don't give any more than that. Nope. If ye love me, Jesus says. When you think about what am I going to give, or even what am I going to give sacrificially, then you ought to remember the sacrifice of your Savior. As you think on these things. Number two, under this point, sacrifice of your fellow servant. I would not ask you to give any more than the King family is willing to give. Did you hear what their song said? Did you hear what they sang? Did you hear that? I did. Because I've paid that. And I'm not remiss. I've no regrets that I said yes to Jesus. That when he called, I answered him that day. I've no regrets for how and where he led me. But I've paid a price. You can't imagine the price I've paid. But as you take the principle of faith promise, I'm just saying don't pay any more than the sacrifice of your fellow servant. Look at chapter 8, verse 14. Paul says, so according to man hath, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance may also be a supply for your want, that there may be an equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over. He that had gathered little had no lack. Pay proportionally. Because there's a proportional figuring in your brain of what it's worth. You have figured it out. And you've given a proportion that you're willing to sacrifice to drive that. You have figured it out where you live, how you live, because you have said, that is worth it to me to pay that to live this lifestyle. Why should I do anything less for Jesus? And then number three, never give more than the sacrifice of your Savior. Never give more than the sacrifice of your servant, of the fellow servant. And then never give more than the sacrifice of the forsaken sinner. Paul said, quoting Jesus in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that he said, it is better to give that you sit it here in the comfort of this air-conditioned, carpeted, padded chair feast have more than the Africans in my country, the poorest country in the world. But I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about the fact that as a born-again child of God, when you die, you have the promise of eternal life, which God that cannot lie.
Amen.
But they've never heard. When I left in 1986, I am the last white man that my country has ever seen. I can guarantee you that there's not been a white man in my part of my country since 1986. I'm 45 years old. Most of the people I knew no longer live. And there's a whole generation that has never, not only not seen a white man, who cares about that? But never heard what you hear every week. And there's only one of two places in eternity. And God no longer winks at ignorance, but commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now, go back to it is better to give than to receive. Would you be willing to change places with that African? There was a whole lot of us here that would already be dead in hell. I'm 55. You understand what it means? And when we think about the principles of faith promise, never give more than the sacrifice of the forsaken sinner on the field. I wouldn't want to give any more than they're giving. I wouldn't want to give any more than the Savior gave. And why would I give any more than the missionaries given? It's perspective, isn't it? I told you Wednesday night, the Lord was going to challenge your faith. The Lord was going to concentrate your focus. Number four. All right. So I got a couple more, but these don't have any points underneath them. All right. So we're just going to run right through them. All right. So, and does that mean you? Absolutely does. But Don, does that mean you? Brother Don, participate personally. Does that mean you?
Yep.
Every man. Brother Jordan, does that include you?
Yep.
Yeah. You get it? If you're a member of this church, it means you, every man. Purpose profoundly. Make it emotional. Don't take this personally. Aha! Take this personally! And take it to heart. Man, he did, that preacher did a good job of preaching. I'm sure glad he wasn't preaching to you, to me. Yes, I was. Just figure everybody else ain't here. That's how much I'm preaching to you. Pay proportionally. Chapter 8, verse number 4, principle of faith promise. So let's go back to verse 1. Moreover, brother, we deep poverty, don't miss that, abounded under the riches of their liberality. So these are poor boys. These shake hands with the poor boy who owns everything. You ever heard that song? For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Now look at this. How did they determine that? Verse 4. Praying. Praying with us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. Number 4. the principle of faith promise is to pray perceptively. Pray perceptively. The answer to prayer is yes. When we pray according to the will of God, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. And if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. We're not asking for you to just eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a tiger by its toe. If it hollers, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. That'll work. Oh, maybe not. This one. That's not how we do it. In everything by prayer. The principle of faith promise is take it to the Lord in prayer. If you've already filled out a prayer, if you've already filled out a faith promise card and you haven't made it a matter of prayer, you need to come back and say, Pastor, could I see those prayer cards? I need to pick mine back out again. And I need to make it a matter of prayer. It may be that the Lord will say less. It may be that the Lord will say more. It may be that the Lord will give you peace on what you put down. But don't do it without praying about it. Make it a matter. How's God going to tell me? Well, put your nose in the book. That's how God's going to tell you. Open your ear to the hearing of the Word of God. That's how God's going to tell you, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Where's the Word of God heard at? It's heard out here in the church, where it's preached. The pillar and sand ground, what is it? The pillar and ground of the truth. Right here. But pray perceptively. All right, we're going to move right on to the next point. Chapter 8, verse 11. And so, Paul says to the church at Corinth, and he says, now therefore, you've already promised over a year ago, therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Again, it's which ye have. And then chapter number 9, and verse number, let's see. I don't want to read all of it, so let's read verse number 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, what you promised, wherefore ye have noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. So, pray perceptively, and number 5, we need to persist piously. Piety is a religious term saying, I'm going to keep my promise. That's piety. Persist piously. I made a promise, and bless God, I'll keep my promise. And I might miss this, and I might miss that, but God's first. And I'm not going to be a fool, as God calls a fool, a man that makes a promise to God and doesn't keep it. God just called that person a fool. That's strong language, but worse than strong language, that's coming from a very powerful God. I don't want him calling me a fool. You make a promise to God, you keep it. And I might have to sacrifice somewhere else. But listen to me, we're looking at it the wrong way. Because if I have prayed perceptively and I know the will of God because of prayer, then whatever happens after that, God already knew about it. And God wants to do something wonderful in my life to take care of it if I'll just piously persist and say, I will not be turned back. I will not allow the devil to detour me, to help me lose my focus. This is God. I will serve God. I will serve God no matter though he slay me, Job said. Yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain my ways, my piety before him. And so persist piously. We're going to be faithful. I don't know what God's going to do so that we can make this up. But we're going to do this first.
Amen.
Principle number 6. Look at chapter 8, verse number 5. The Bible says, "This they did, not as we hoped." I think every pastor can use that verse. "This they did, not as we hoped." Man, it sure wasn't like we had it planned. But I hope every pastor can also say, "But first gave them own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Boy, it turned out a lot better than I ever thought. "This they did, not as we hoped." We had this idea of, oh boy, that didn't work. But look what God did instead. Number whatever. "But first gave their own selves." Principle to faith promise is providentially place or providentially position. This, not as we hope, but first gave themselves unto God. My dad tells a story of, he was in a church one time and a guy came up to him and said, "Mr. Harris, I know what you're trying to do. You're just trying to get my back pocket." I have my back pocket's this fake mask. I'm just waiting until this is all over so I can go into banks. You're not going to find a wallet there. I've lived in foreign countries too long. I don't keep a wallet in my back pocket. Never did. Amen. Didn't have anything in it anyway, but I didn't want to fool them. He said, "I don't know what you're doing, missionary. You're just trying to get my back pocket." My dad said, "Sir, I don't care a thing for your back pocket. But what I am trying to do is get to your heart. Because where your heart is, there's your treasure also." Providentially positioned. Missions first, give yourselves to the Lord. I can guarantee you that if everyone in this church first gave themselves to the Lord, next week the pastor would say, "And this they did, not as we hoped." Good night! They first gave themselves to the Lord. But I think the Lord is also wise enough to know what's coming down the road in the next year of my life, to ordain and order my steps. Yep. And that I ought to just say, "Yes, Lord." I'll say, "Yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes, with my whole heart I'll obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes." Providentially positioned God we ought to be. Number 7, chapter 9, verse number 6. The Bible says on this principle of giving by faith to the work of missions, "But this I say, a little bit shall also reap a little bit. But he that soweth bountifully," what's that mean? "Shall also reap bountifully." Jesus put it this way in Luke chapter 6, verse number 38, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. What howsoever, whatsoever man giveth, shall he also receive." So my point is this, in the principles of faith promise, is to plan perpetually. plan perpetually. Give a little, receive a little. Give more, receive more. Give a lot, receive a lot. The old saying that most people don't plan to fail, they only fail. Faith, promise, missions, I just don't see it. We haven't participated. Plan perpetually. And then chapter, hey, did you realize, man, we're on the last point. How'd we get there? Well, we went through all the rest of them, Pastor. Oh, yeah. Chapter 9, verse 7. All right, so we go back to this. Every man, as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, this point is patiently pursue. I tell our people in Mexico, I preach tithing. I preach faith promise, missions participation. They have nothing. We have no every man. Why would I want my Mexican people to go to heaven without a reward? Who would I be? And I tell them, you give and let God bless. And they look at my life and they say, but you're so blessed. You know why I'm so blessed? I've got 30-some years experience in giving. It didn't happen overnight. You could have visited me when we were in Arizona and you would have found poor boys. My kids, except for Anna, grew up with nothing. We didn't have. We sacrificed. But we always gave. The tithe is the Lord's. Never was mine, and I never touched it. And we participated down to the baby in our family in missions. But it took. We sacrificed. But the Bible says, let us give cheerfully. Now, you've heard, never pray for patience. And you've heard why. Because the trying of your faith worketh patience. You got it. You've got a messed up thought there. It's not biblical. Because God is not going to put something in your life. He's not sitting in heaven just waiting for you. Now I got him. That ain't God. You got. Did you know God's already got it planned? Did you know it's already going to happen? Did you know God only knows it's going to happen? He's not trying to find some way to get something in your life and, whoa, I got him now. And I'll see how they handle this one. If you look it up in the dictionary, you'll find that patience is cheerful endurance. That's what patience is. God loveth a cheerful giver. I wrote an acrostic for patience. Let's spell it out. P-A-T-I-E-N-C-E. Patience is perceiving almighty timing. I endure now, cheerfully expecting. That's patience. Perceiving almighty timing. God has a time in this. I endure now. This isn't easy. This is rough. This is hard. Cheerfully. That means put a smile on. You're hurt, but put a smile on. It's a long trial. It's a long trail, but put a smile on because God is able. God is able. And God is able. Our verse. Point number last. patiently pursue. Find out what God wants you to do in this principle of faith promise. As he purposed every man. Starting with that principle, apply these other principles in your life. Find out what God wants you to do by prayer. Piously pursue it. Put God first, and to God be the glory. Mm-hmm. And then patiently pursue it. Yeah. I'll not give up on God. He never gave up on me. And I may have to tread this valley, but the God of the mountains is still God in the valley. Ah, it's so peaceful to trust in the Lord. Now let me make this statement, and I'm done. Faith Promise Missions Conference, in principle, if you got the principle, it is not about the quantity of your finances. That's not what it's about. It's about the quality of your faith. Not about the quantity of your finances. It's about the quality of your faith. It's not how much money am I promising. It's about how much of me is participating. Yeah. That's the principle of what this conference is all about. I want you to think about it. But if I can only get you to think about it, I failed. So, Mexican ball. What's that mean? Do you guys know what that means? Toca mi corazón. What's that mean? It hit me in the heart. That's what I was trying to get. Never give more than your Savior gave. Never give more than the servant is willing to give. And don't give any more than that lost sinner dying without Christ will give in eternity. Considering those, what would God have me to do? Thank you, Lord, for the willingness of this church to think on these things, but Lord, more so to allow the Holy Spirit of God, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Bless now as the pastor takes the service in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, thank you.